Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Artists First World Radio Network, home of the best new music you've never heard and home of the best new talk shows you need to hear. Please don't forget to visit our archives page at www.artistfirst.com, where you can hear all our past shows for free and on demand. You are tuning into Unique, Life Starring You. This show airs at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Monday. For more information about this show and to listen to past shows for free, please visit artistfirst.com/unique. That's younique.htm. And don't forget to follow Artist First on Twitter. You can find us under the Twitter handle @artist_first. And now here's your host of Unique, Miss Susan Stackpole.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us here on YO Unique, Life Starring You. We are what we are because of you, so thank you for being here with us. We have a little program that we do called Pray It Forward, and basically what that is that there's a lot of disconcerting things in the media, and there are studies suggesting that positive thoughts, meditation, prayer, loving energy, all that sort of thing makes a difference and can actually shift the energy and shift the results in a situation. So we ask that when you see those things that you just offer up a little prayer, send a little love their way, and it does make a difference. So thank you for that. We are delighted to have with us tonight a return guest, a relationship expert who's going to get us all ready for the Valentine holiday. Her name is Cherry Norris, and Cherry is an author, speaker, filmmaker, and dating coach, and she teaches smart, successful single women how to meet and marry their men, which is great for the women and the men. Through her coaching programs, products, and live workshops, she helps thousands of women around the world get better results in their romantic relationships. Cherry is also the writer, director, and producer of the internationally acclaimed feature-length romantic comedy, Duty Dating. The film is based on the best-selling book Getting to I Do by Dr. Pat Allen, which tells the story of women, a woman who learns what to do to meet her man and how to have successful romantic relationships. Like the heroine of her film, Cherry used the same powerful information she teaches to meet her dream man, Lorenzo, while sailing the Mediterranean, and they were married and in Italy in 2002 and are still together, and we are thrilled to have her here with us tonight. Please check out her website at www.cherrynorris.com. Welcome to the program, Cherry.
Thank you so much, Susan. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, we just adore you here at Artist First, and you just bring such great information to Unique, and you're just such a blessing. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Cherry, for those of us, for those listeners who may just be joining us for the first time, we'd love to have you give them just a little bit of background of your biography and how you got to be such a dating expert.
Well, I started because I was a former dating disaster. I literally botched every relationship I could have had or would have had because I had no clue on what I was doing wrong. And so in my late 30s, some girlfriends told me about a relationship expert in Los Angeles named Dr. Pat Allen, and I went to a seminar, and within 15 minutes, I was on my hands and knees in tears learning that I was a big man, and I knew at that time I had to change my ways or I would stay single forever. So at the time, I was a filmmaker and writer-producer. And so I started writing a script called Duty Dating about a woman at the time who did everything wrong to marry the wrong man, or did everything right to marry the wrong man. And it's basically a how to meet and marry your man movie told in a romantic comedy fashion. And after 2 years of writing it and two more years of making the movie, I used what I learned when I met my husband on a small sailboat cruising up the Amalfi Coast in Italy, and that was 11 and a half years ago. We've been married 10 years. So it works, and after I, you know, met Lorenzo, my friends started asking, well, how did you do it, and what can I do? And that's when I started coaching. And so here we are.
Oh, my goodness. And there's so many things. I would encourage any of our listeners. Terry's been with us a few times. We have the archives listed on the Unique page. Please definitely check those out, because I every time you've been on, Terry, I just always take notes, because the tips that you offer are great for not only romantic relationships as well as professional relationships and any sort of male-female interaction, of just having a better understanding of how does that work, and how do we relate to one another and communicate in each other's languages.
That's right. We are two different breeds.
We are. I said very jokingly to a friend of mine, I said, I think that in lieu of reality TV, that when God was creating Adam and Eve, and realistically, it's simply to complement one another. However, at the time, at times, I would imagine we're very much like God's own little reality show, of sort of just, you know, watching us attempt to interact with one another.
You know, that's a very good point. Yeah. That would be high entertainment, wouldn't it, if you couldn't have TV?
When I'm able to step back from my own life, Terry, even, you know, things I look at, I'm like, really? Did I say that? Really? Did I do that? And it's so important, I think, to have a sense of humor about yourself, because it does. It's you know, sometimes it's very similar to what you would see maybe on a sitcom.
Exactly.
So, and one of the things that I especially respect about you, Terry, is that you walk the talk, in the sense of this. While these are things that you've learned and integrated into your life, it's not just something that you've pulled from a book and that you teach, but it's something that you actually really, and the work to do that especially, I commend you for, because when you've been in a habit or a pattern for a while in your life, even when you recognize that, hey, I'd rather implement something that's going to work better for me, it doesn't always necessarily change overnight just because all of a sudden now we have the knowledge, or all of a sudden now we have the intention. It's sort of like developing a new diet, or new nutritional habits, or going to the gym, or that sort of thing of okay, this is the person I'm choosing to be now, and these are the choices that I'm pardon me, making now. And so I give you credit for that.
Thank you. And it is true. You could have a piece of information and, okay, you know what to do. Putting it into your body, integrating it into your way of being, is a completely different experience.
As I think all of us now, a couple of months into the new year, that made New Year's resolutions maybe to eat healthier or go to the gym or whatever those sorts of things are remembering that, right, it's a habit, and you know, it's a matter of making those choices on a regular basis. And the same thing goes with dating, whether you're in a relationship and have been for a while, or are single, or just coming out of a relationship, that there's habits and practices that, if you can get those in motion, are really going to benefit you. And that's some of what we'll be talking about tonight, correct?
That is correct.
Well, Terry, one of the things, we're going to talk about a little bit later in the show is online dating. And before we do that, with the Valentine holiday being so close by, we'd love to have you talk a little bit about the pressure that it puts on couples and singles, and things people can do to create for themselves an enjoyable Valentine's Day.
That is a great question, Susan. I remember when I was single, I put so much emphasis on Valentine's Day. It just seemed like the holiday where everybody had somebody to love and go out and have a wonderful romantic dinner with hearts and candles and wine and chocolates, except me.
Right, and angels are singing and fireworks are happening, and right, you know, cue the romantic music, and right, exactly, like right out of a movie. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And then, I mean, it's wonderful when you do have a date for Valentine's, because it is exciting and it is a lot of fun. And you go to crowded restaurants and often pay overpriced meals. But the thing is, it's just another day. And yes, it can be a stinging day to remind you that, oh, I'm still alone. But it doesn't have to be the end of the story. It's just a reminder that if you are in a mode where you want to share your life with a partner, it's time to reconsider maybe what you're doing and try doing something else to get a different result. I mean, that's how I saw it.
I think that that's an excellent point, Terry. And I know for myself, one of the things I was able to do was shift my perspective from it being a day of celebrating romantic relationships to a day of just celebrating love wherever it happened to be in my life. And I found that for myself, when I was able to shift to that and say, oh, I've got some really amazing friends or, you know, wonderful family or inspiring mentors or whoever it is, I think that when you can expand that definition, that it definitely makes a difference and makes it a lot more festive of a day.
That's a wonderful point, Susan.
So, Terry, and I also agree with you that when you're finding yourself sort of, you know, single and maybe not desiring to be there, that I think it's especially important, and this is something that you teach in your workshops and classes and things like that, that this concept of self-nurturing and how important that is. I would love to have you share with us, Terry, before we talk a little bit about the online dating, of how important it is for men and women to take care of themselves first and recognize what that looks like before setting out to have a relationship.
Well, that's a wonderful question too, Susan. I think it's especially for a woman, it is important you know how to take care of yourself, very, very good care of yourself, because many of us have been raised to take care of others first, and like the thing they tell you on the airplane, you'll die if you try and take care of everybody if you don't have your own oxygen.
And guilt around that, too, Terry, mm-hmm. that I think a lot of women feel.
Yes. So it's reframing who you are. It's not selfish if you're being self-centered and taking care of yourself so that you feel good so that then you can do better for others. And that's a whole different way of operating rather than I must do this so everybody will be happy and I feel better. No, that's a masculine stance. I do good to feel good as a man. I feel good to do good as a woman.
Oh, I like that clarification, Terry. Could you repeat that again for our listeners? Because that is a lovely pearl of wisdom.
Yes. Masculine energy people, men and some women, do good, meaning they take care of things, and when they make their loved ones happy because they've given to them, protected them, or cherished them in some way, they feel better about themselves. A feminine woman needs to receive first to feel good before she can give back in appreciation and do well for others. So masculine energy people do good first to feel good. Feminine energy people feel good first to do good. And a woman's body is designed to feel good first before doing good. Because when we do too much, we wreck our bodies. We overextend. We get exhausted. We get sick. We get cancer. We eat too much. We overindulge. We're out of balance. We're out of whack. And so it's really, really important to pay attention, to drop into your body, get out of your head and get into your physical part and just hear what your body is telling you, because your body is not going to lie. It's going to say, I need to sleep, I need to eat, I need to sit down, I need to take care of myself, I need a massage, I need to exercise, I need to dance, I need to move, I need to rest, I need to make love. It's going to tell you. But often we're so busy, busy, busy that we don't take time to listen.
Karen, that's such an excellent point, and even speaking from my own experience, that's one thing that in my life I just learned early on, and I think it was probably a very masculine approach to things, is just, you know, whatever the cost, get it done, and it would override my intuition, and I found that it's really important that your intuition has wisdom for you, and it will tell you. What advice would you have for our listeners, both female and male, in terms of getting into their bodies and really listening from a place of being responsive versus reactive. Because I think what happens is if you notice, like, oh, I need to I'm tired and I feel like I'd like to rest, and yet I've got 15 things that are meant to be done by tomorrow. I think that what happens is we just don't know how to balance those things. So
that's true. How
do you do that?
That's a tough question and a challenge for many people because we are so busy. And what I find is that I need to schedule my time into my day. I'm fortunate to live near the ocean. I'm on the southern coast of California, and I can walk out my door and be on the sand in 5 to 7 minutes.
Wow.
So I find that sunset time is my time, and I will schedule my day often around a sunset because that's when I go to my well. I go down to the water. I am around the negative ions, and it's a priority, and I make it a priority to just go to the beach and watch the sunset and take a walk. And that's where I get in my body, and I just process a lot of what has been churning around in the doing and just allow it to be. And when I do this, I often think of some of my best ideas so that I come back refreshed and creative and ready, you know, to go. I think that's important, that you have to schedule your, I call them my small moments. You schedule your small moments where you just take time out for yourself. It is a priority. And if you don't do this, you will run your car into the ground. You know, it's car maintenance on your body, on yourself. The other thing that I've noticed is, you know, it's really easy to feel overwhelmed and with so many things to do and think, oh, I just can't get everything done. Two things. One is declutter your schedule. I mean, really look at what it is you have to do, what it is you really feel like doing and want to do, and then get rid of the things that you think you should do. Just eliminate them. You don't have to be every place for everybody. You don't want to be, even. You just want to be where you're in your wow times, and it's because you really want to be there because you feel good doing it. The second thing that I'm noticing, and I'm still experimenting with this, and I know that when I go and lean into this and really have faith in it, it always works out, and that is knowing that everything is going to get done that really needs to be done in its perfect time, in its perfect way. So if I'm stressed out because I've got 50 things to accomplish on my list before Friday, I end up gridlocking. But if I say, okay, it's fine if I take a bath right now and just relax, I might get some of my best ideas in that moment, so it makes my work a lot easier and certainly more fun. And going in the flow. Oprah Winfrey calls it the flow. It's always looking for that flow and where you need to be, where you feel the best being, and doing things that you really enjoy that make you, you know, feel great. Not always possible, because there are things we have to do in order to survive, in order to get through our lives. But I do look towards where's the inspiration, where's the well, where's the feel-good stuff.
And that's such an excellent point, Sherry. There's actually information out that talks about that when you start to really recognize what stress does to emotionally, physically, spiritually, and they were saying that it's almost not possible for your to be creative when you're in any sort of stress. And so exactly what you're saying is so important.
I can't do it. And also, too, I mean, I do a lot of writing in my work. And if I'm flatlined and I have to get something out and I just do it because I have to do it, that energy, I believe, carries through what I'm writing.
Mm,
it's
absolutely.
Just crap. I don't even want to put it out in the world.
Yep. And that's such an excellent point, Jerry. And one of the things I was thinking about when you were saying kind of this idea of decluttering your schedule and really sort of simplifying life, I was thinking that what's really great about that, and there's people I know that do that, like yourself, that when that person says yes, it means a lot more because they're not saying yes to everyone and everything,
yes.
That they're really participating in things that
yes.
they feel. One thing I found for myself, too, is recognizing when you have a mission statement or you know your purpose for being here or in this life, whether it's for work or in your relationship, it clarifies, I think, and it makes it easier to say yes to what's in alignment with that and no to what's not. Than trying to be everything to everyone. So I appreciate you reminding us of that because I think that that's such an important thing of, like, you know, really let your yes be yes and let your no mean no and be okay with it. Be at peace knowing that it's not, you can't be all things to all people all the time.
You really cannot. And I find, to your point, Susan, the energy management is where it's at with me. That's more important than the time management.
Ooh, that's an excellent point, Jerry. I like that. Because I think we do think in terms of very sort of, I don't want to say tactile, you know, in time management, financial management, that sort of thing, versus looking at the energy of it. I recently had a spiritual mentor of mine. She said, when you shift your focus from what you're doing to who you're being,
uh-huh.
she said, you'll notice it's just like a complete turnover. And I was like, wow. And it really speaks to what you're sharing with us as well about this idea of start looking at it from an energy standpoint. Because you're right, like those things that we just have to get finished or that we're under pressure, you're right, it's that energy around it just does not feel good for us. So even when we go back and we look at it, we say, oh, I wish I would have taken the 5 extra minutes to make this be what I felt like I desired for it to be or that sort of thing. So that's such an excellent point. Thank you for sharing that with us, Jerry.
You're welcome. And another point that you just touched on with your spiritual coach, which is in complete alignment with a woman in balance, and man too, all right? The secret of life is the balance between the doing and the being, because the doing is masculine, it's productive, you want to get things accomplished. You can't live without doing something. The being is the feminine and the spiritual and the flow and the being present and allowing, you know, the listening to happen and responding to what's given to you in the moment so that we're not so stressed over things that aren't even in the room with us. We get in our heads and we let, especially a woman, let our minds go 1,000 miles an hour. Sometimes to the point where we can't even sleep. And there, none of those things are in the room, in our bedroom, you
right,
know? But
exactly.
Yeah.
And
so
we're going to talk about that a little bit, too, with the online dating, about mm-hmm. the way that men and women are mm-hmm. wired, because mm-hmm. I think that for women, we just, because we are able to multitask, we've
mm-hmm.
got, you know, 20 different things going on in our brain at one time, and I think that that leads to exactly what you were saying, is that sometimes when people feel like they can't sort of chill out and take that, okay, I'm going to take 5 minutes and just go enjoy a walk or whatever it is. And how crucial that is. Something I learned in my own life, Terry, is that when you completely empty your own cup, it's only when your cup is full that you really are able to give quality in your relationship.
And your work.
Mm.
And yourself.
Right, exactly.
And your life.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's the difference between survival and thrival.
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. And I do believe that, in the end of the day, is the secret to life.
Oh, I love that. And I totally agree with that, Terry. I think that I do. I think that that's sort of what it comes down to. And I think that those are the people that we're drawn to. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this, about in terms of a relationship, is who are we desiring to be in a relationship, and also who do we desire to be with in a relationship? Do we desire to be with somebody who's just surviving, or do we desire to be with someone who's thriving? Because I think in the world in general, people even in the media that we're drawn to, whether they actually are or it's just the illusion of, we're drawn to these people who seem to be thriving. And when you've been around people who are thriving, you're like, wow, yeah, what is that? I want that to be my life. How do I do that?
Yeah. So get lined up.
Right, exactly.
Get lined up.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. For anyone who's just joining us, we are here with the lovely and knowledgeable Terry Norris. Please visit Terry's website at www.terrynorris.com and continue listening. She's going to have a little special offer for us a little bit later in the show. Terry, thank you so much for being with us this evening.
You are welcome, Susan.
Terry, one of the things that I think intrigues and perplexes is that we live in a new age of online relationships and dating and all that sort of thing. And more and more, the statistics escape me, and you may have some of them, more and more people are going to online dating. I know even in my own circle, a couple of very sweet people have found each other, married and now with children, through online dating. And you have some tips for us tonight about how to navigate the online dating world.
Yes, I do notice some commonalities on women's profiles in the online world. Yes, it's true.
Oh, goodness. And one of the things, Terry, we were talking about this a little bit before the show, and this is something that you talked about with dating in general and speaking from my own experience as well, the intention with which you're seeking a relationship, and going back to what you were just saying about energy, really, I think, translates in how you present yourself.
Goodness gracious. How you present online is how you present in person.
Right. But I think that sometimes we don't even realize, mm-hmm. I know even in my own experience, that maybe I was pressuring myself, or, you know, there's all these different things, sort of backstory going on behind the scenes of why we're really desiring to be in a relationship. So would you say that before you do anything, it's a fair point to get clear about why you're desiring to have a relationship in your life at that point?
Get clear on why you desire.
Well, you know, it's funny. Your intention behind it.
It's. I think people nowadays, because in the past, especially when you go back to caveman days, we needed relationships because we had to survive. I mean, women needed men to protect us from animals and the elements.
Exactly.
And we worked together as a team. They'd go off and hunt, and we would stay and cook the meal. Later, we married for economic reasons with, you know, men in the workplace, and then women stayed home and raised the family, and that was a good working, compatible unit. And then when World War II happened, men went off to war, and for the first time, women went into the workplace, and that was a game changer because women realized, I don't need a man for money. I can make my own money. And then fast forward to the 1960s with the birth control pill, which was the biggest game changer. Women realized, I don't need a man for marriage and pregnancy. You know, I'm free to have sex whenever I want. And so with Women's Lib, women, you know, started to behave like men. Men didn't know their roles anymore. Women were overextended, started getting sick, not respecting men. And it ended up in this big ball of confusion. So now, in our life, we have so many choices, and we can play so many roles. And having a relationship, I believe now, is really about personal fulfillment. And at the end of the day, I really believe a relationship is designed to take you to deeper parts of yourself that you would not normally get to outside of relationship with another person. I mean, I've been with my husband over 10 years, and I've gotten to know myself in a way that I never could know as a single person because there wasn't someone reflecting parts of myself back to me. And some of it isn't pretty. It's just not pretty. Sometimes I wish I still had my single girl apartment so I could go in the room and close the door and nobody would see me like this. Fortunately, he's very cherishing and accepting. And there are times where I've experienced so much love and connectedness that I never could have experienced as a single person either. So there's that side of it as well. But I think we're in relationships for personal fulfillment. But I still believe that it's important to know what, to consciously choose and know what your role is in a relationship. Otherwise, you'll just get so confused and you'll end up spinning your wheels and it will be frustrating and you'll just overwork in the dating arena and stay single as a result. It's not easy. It's not easy with all these choices.
Right, and I think that that's such an excellent point of what you were saying, Cherry, about acknowledging the personal fulfillment aspect, and also that this is a person that's going to sort of reflect you back to yourself to have that deeper look. And I guess what I was saying about knowing your intention is that sometimes maybe people are looking for, you know, that they're not looking for something serious, and they just want to sort of see what's out there, or maybe they
and
are looking
fine.
For that spouse or that sort of thing. And
that's
and
fine.
That with all the choices that are available, of getting clear about, well, who am I and what is it that I'm really desiring?
And then lining that up with, well, we're referring to online dating, but line up who you are online so that you attract the man you want to attract. What I'm learning more and more, or seeing more and more, is how women say, I want a masculine man. And on their dating profiles, they are so masculine, they can't possibly attract a masculine man. So they attract all these feminine men who, you know, want to have coffee and conversation and do yoga classes together and being very spiritual, but they're not going to pick up the phone and initiate a date.
So let's talk a little bit about that. And for anyone who's just joining us, we're here with Cherry Norris, relationship expert. And please visit Cherry's website at www.cherrynorris.com. Cherry, let's get into a little bit, and thank you so much for being here. Cherry, you're such a delight.
You're welcome.
Cherry, let's talk a little bit about presentation, because I know even from my own sort of life experience, I feel in general in life sometimes less is more, of really
uh-huh.
being conscious of
uh-huh. Uh-huh.
what you're saying and uh-huh. saying it in a powerful way, uh-huh. kind of going back to almost what you were saying earlier about, like, when you declutter your schedule, then yes really means yes, and it really means
yes.
something. So let's talk a little bit about that, about how to portray yourself in a successful way. And some of what you were saying, in case people maybe are confused, is, well, what's a masculine trait and what's a feminine trait?
Okay, well, let's just go back to the very beginning on the dating
okay.
profiles.
Great.
It's not a job resume. You do not have to list everything in your life that you enjoy doing. You do not have to share your family and friends. That is distracting, it's confusing, and it's clutter. You want to advertise you. You are the one who's looking for a relationship, not your son and daughter, not your mother, not your best friend, you know? So you want to position you in great photos where you look good and you're smiling, you in your advertising for a man. He doesn't have to know everything before you meet. Save something for later. You're advertising to get his attention, to pique his curiosity and make him want to buy more. He's your customer, okay? You don't want to give it all away. And that's what I see most often, that women just give TMI, too much information. It's overwhelming. It's confusing. And a man cannot get through all of that. So that's first.
Cherry, I had heard or read something that they said on average, for online dating, that a lot of men basically sort of look at the photo and will skim the dating profile.
Yeah, if a man even reads your profile.
Right, and I think that that's an important thing. I would love to have you share a little bit more about that, because it just seems that women sort of agonize over every word and what to say and all this, and, you know, recognizing that when it comes down to it, men are men, and for the most part, very visual. And
that's right.
So
eyes are their second biggest sex organ. Seriously. That's it. I mean, I just had a Q&A video, which I do weekly, and it was a question that came in from a man asking about truth in advertising from a woman online. He asked four questions about truth in advertising, all of them doing with what she looked like, none of them doing with truth in advertising about her interests, that she said she likes golf, but she really doesn't. All of them were about her age, her appearance, how dated were her photographs, where could he find her in all the pictures with her friends and family, would she post herself with her smoking hot daughter. You know, it's a distraction.
Now, Terry, would you say, because I know that you, we're going to talk a little bit about this too, that you teach classes for, I think it's women specifically, on how to find a quality mate.
Yes.
Would you say that this gentleman falls into that category of women looking for a quality mate, or not so much? And referring to sort of the online dating, that a man who is genuinely interested is going to take a little bit of time to go through the profile, or not necessarily?
Feminine men will take time to go through the profile.
Interesting.
When you put a lot of data in your profile, or women love stories. This is what I love. Women love stories. They start the profile with very flowery things. Two charts joining together as one. Oh, let me give you my story and see how you fit into my life. And it's very flowery and it's beautifully written. A man is like, WTF, just what's the scoop? You know? Just give it to me short and simple. Just small sound bites. And so when a woman writes stories and long, lengthy prose and goes into all the interests, she's really writing for a feminine man in his ears, who loves stories.
Is the opposite true then also if she's online and she sees a gentleman who has a very sort of flowery, lengthy story?
Mm-hmm.
That indicates a man who's sort of more in his feminine element?
Well, you'd have to see what specifically he's writing. I mean, if he's talking about how he enjoys his spiritual practice and he goes to yoga and he's compassionate and he tends his garden and he likes his artwork and he plays music and he's a dancer and he's all into these kinds of things, an actor, a musician, you know, these types of things, he's a feminine man. Because he's into his body, he's into his feelings, he's into, you know, sharing intimacies and feelings and this type of thing. A masculine man will be talking more about his accomplishments, his success, his high-powered career, his adventures, where he travels. He'll be, you know, hiking up Mount Everest or kayaking down the Nile or whatever he does. You know, it's active, it's doing, it's thinking, it's planning, it's initiating, it's going and going. And that's really the biggest difference you'll see. And a masculine man will probably write less. He'll just give the pertinent data and move on. He'll answer the questions and then move on.
I just had a light bulb go off going back to what we were talking about, the difference, what you were sharing about doing is very masculine and feminine, being is very feminine. And so then would it be safe to say that if you're a feminine woman looking for a masculine man, that you would want to write your profile about doing, so that would, if he is going to read it, that it is going to attract his attention, and that your photos would be that you're hiking or that your photos are active, that it's not necessarily you in a yoga pose or something like that. It's something that reflects doing versus being.
Actually, that's interesting, because that's the other thing one of the other things I notice on a woman's profile. She's so busy doing that when a man reads her profile, it's like, you'll find me out with friends, enjoying spirited dinner with my family, cruising up the PCH, with, you know, shopping at the fashion outlet. And the man goes, well, where do I fit in? her life is full. She has friends. She has family. She's doing things by herself. How do I fit in? Men are visual, and so it's a really good idea for a woman to put the man in her scene when she's describing what she enjoys. For example, instead of talking about friends and family and blah, 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 say something like, you know, I enjoy sipping wine while cooking a delicious meal for you. And on another adventure, we drive together up the coast, enjoying the scenery and stopping to shop here and there. So that he is getting a picture of the lifestyle you want and where he fits in it. And so you're giving information on what you enjoy, but you're also creating the space for him to be a participant in it.
Excellent, excellent point. That really is an excellent point, Terry, because I think especially, for some reason, like single moms come to mind, that they get so mm-hmm. used to mm-hmm. sort of taking everything on themselves mm-hmm. that it's tough to open up, or people, yes. whether it be male or female, that yes. have been hurt in previous relationships yes. that are skeptical about opening up.
Yes, that's exactly right. It's very vulnerable. And that's the other thing that I would just say is another notice, another observation about a woman's profile. She hides. She hides behind the doing and all this information. And you think, well, she's giving you all this information. You've got all this data, and she's sharing her activities. She hides herself. She hides her body. She hides her being. She hides. She does not lead with the sensual and the sexual, because that is too terrifying. It's too vulnerable. It's too exposed. You feel like the man's going to reach right through the computer and disrobe you right there on the spot. It's very scary. And yet, if you're a feminine woman who wants to attract a masculine man, you bring the sensual elements. You bring the sexual part, especially if you want a successful man who, you know, is going to pay for your lifestyle. You have to bring sex or money. You have to lead with one or the other. You can't lead with both or nothing.
Those are such excellent points, Terry. And I always feel like we just sort of get into things as we're wrapping up. We have a couple more minutes here before we're going to begin wrapping up. And I just would love to have you speak a little bit to on the cautious end of things about online dating. Obviously, we live in a time where we would love to believe that everyone's intentions are pure
yeah.
and that sort of thing, and that may not always be the case. Maybe you could offer up a few quick tips on how to recognize someone who's showing up, for both women and men, someone who's showing up as legitimate versus red flags or saying, you know, maybe this is just not a conversation or an interaction to pursue mm-hmm. any further.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, there are many opinions about online dating. I personally, if I were online dating, I wouldn't give it any, I mean, I don't want to say don't take it seriously. I want you to take your part seriously. However, I wouldn't take the men seriously because 90% of them are not even worth communicating with, okay? There are a lot of players out there. There are a lot of people that are just not yours, all right? So this is where I think it's very important to be razor sharp and clear on the role you're playing and the man you want to attract so that you can distinguish who's appropriate for you and who's not. You'll have so much information by the way a man communicates with you, by how he presents himself. Well, if he follows through, if he picks up the phone and calls you, you can hear in the sound of his voice if you feel comfortable. Your body will tell you. Your intuition will guide you. And you don't ever, ever, ever have to meet anyone that you don't feel uncomfortable meeting. And if you've got a question, even if you think, okay, it's safe, you guide that man to come to where you feel safe. You do not put yourself in an unsafe situation or go to him where you don't know where you are. You know, you really have to be just aware, just aware.
Right. Like
conscious.
Meet the first time in a public place.
Yeah,
well
lit,
nice,
some place
right.
where you know and you're familiar with.
And I think that's such an important part to recognize, Terry, because I think sometimes when people really are looking for love and they so want to believe that, you know, a lot of people get exhausted by the search and they so want to believe, oh, this is the one, that there's that tendency sometimes to put intuition or instinct aside and say, oh, but, you know, he's going to, you know, cook me an Italian dinner with wine and we're going to watch a movie at his place.
Later.
That sounds so great.
Later.
Exactly.
Later.
So, and so that for that first meeting, I think it's really important to, you know, emphasize that if you are going to do that, whether for women or men, you know, have it be a public place, like you said, that's well lit, that's populated, that is a safe location.
Any place where you're comfortable, where you're comfortable. Just don't go outside your comfort zone on a first meeting. Just make that a good rule of thumb.
Right.
And I mean, I know this is going to sound like, you know, like, wow, she's so pessimistic, but I don't care.
It's better to be
I would not trust
sounding.
Anybody online if I haven't met them, period. You know, they would really have to step up and reveal themselves in a way that makes me feel comfortable and safe. And I don't want to say, like, overcautious and turn everybody down. However, be overcautious and don't agree to meet just anybody. There are so many people out there, and I do believe that women will get caught up in a ghost relationship with a man she hasn't met because there have been a few email exchanges or some texts back and forth and think that there's a relationship going on. There's not. It's in your head, and you won't have a relationship until your body sees the man and knows what it likes or not.
Excellent, excellent point, Terry. Oh my goodness, like I said, I always feel like we just get into the tip of the subject, and here we are coming to a place of wrapping up. Terry, you've got a couple things that I know that you're sharing with us this evening, including some upcoming things that you're offering and some immediate things that you're offering. We'd love to have you share more with us about that.
Well, I think if you want dating tips on my, you know, I do weekly Q&As, and they're just short, fun, fail-proof tips, you know, to help you meet and marry your man. If you want a little more solid entertainment, I have made a film called Duty Dating, which is a lighthearted romantic comedy that gives great dating advice inside the story of a woman who's on the road to meet and marry her man. And so you can find that at cherrynorris.com/duty-dating. And cherry is like the fruit, C-H-E-R-R-Y, and Norris is like Chuck, no relation, N-O-R-R-I-S. And then duty is like D-U-T-Y, and dating, you know. So, but that's a movie that you can just simply download immediately. It's $9.97, you know, watch it in the comfort of your home. Watch it for Valentine's Day if you don't have a plan. Invite a girlfriend over, share a bottle of wine, you know, and enjoy it. And talk about it. Learn something.
Excellent.
You know, move yourself closer to having the relationship you want.
Excellent. And you have coaching and workshops and seminars and all that sort of thing. And all that information is available on your website as well.
That's correct. Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. Well, Terry, you're always such a delight, and we're always just so blessed to have you with us. Is there any is there a mantra or any words of wisdom or anything that comes to mind that you'd like to leave as inspiration for our listening audience this evening?
Yes. If you're a woman online who or a woman out wanting to attract a man, then do your best to be as available, open, and receptive as possible.
Oh, right.
Be present, listen, and respond, and be open to what's presented, available to information and invitations, and receptive of his ideas.
Beautiful. And I think that the point about being present is especially important nowadays when there's so much going on all at one time. A lot of times we're in the past or we're in the future, and so being present is a really great way of staying grounded and like you said, being available and open and receptive and all those great things. So, well, Terry, you just are an absolute gem, and we're just so grateful to have you here with us. For anyone who may have just tuned in, www.terrynorris, and Terry has all sorts of great relationship advice and helpful suggestions, and check out her movie Duty Dating, which is both educational and entertaining. And thank you so much for joining us this evening, Terry. We just are delighted to have you.
Thank you so much, Susan. It was a pleasure being here.
Well, that goes both ways. And thank you to our listening audience for joining us here on YO Unique Life, starring you.